Amen. How many can say that this morning? To whom the Son is set free, he is free indeed. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back together once again. I had a nice opportunity after the service on Wednesday night. We went home and tried to get a couple hours of sleep. I don't know how much sleep I actually got. Just a little bit, I think. And we got up at, 2:45, something like that. And went up on Mount Lemmon to try to get a glimpse and some pictures of this comet, Nishimura. Of course, they named the comet after whoever it was that discovered it. And it was hiding behind the sun, came around. It's actually... its orbit around the sun is closer than the planet Mercury is. So, and the closer a comet gets to the sun, that's what causes it to have a tail, because it's boiling off the moisture, that's the ice, what have you. That's what comets are mostly made of. Different gases that are frozen, what have you. So it gives it that nice colorful tail. And but this one is a little different, because it's in our solar system, so it comes around every 434 years. So this is a once in a lifetime chance, right? So by God's grace, He helped us to. We couldn't find it with our naked eye, but I managed to, knowing where to look, and managed to get some shots of it. And it's just a real treat. You say, what's that got to do with anything? Well, it's part of God's great creation, and we get to see a little bit more of His creation. And you know, people will paint on canvas, they'll paint on paper, they'll create sculptures and all of that, and every bit of it is it just pales compared to the great Creator. He is painting a picture for us every single day. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 23, we want to continue on the thought that we've been on here for a while. I was afraid this would be part 22. And in particular, we want to look again today a little bit more at the message of the children of Israel in their great Exodus, and the ins and outs of their message. And I'm going to search through it, knowing that there are parallels to, it's a shadow of our message, and we can learn from these things, and we're supposed to. That's why we have these things, and that's why God reveals it to us, to just so that we, there's no way that we can miss our day and its message. Exodus chapter 23, and we'll start at the 23rd verse. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. So the Lord is telling them, my presence is going to go before you, right? Fear not, I'm going before you. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young. So every mother, whether it be an animal or human, is going to have a good delivery, and they're going to multiply. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people, to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. I will send hornets before thee, oh my, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. Notice he didn't name all of them. He didn't say anything about the Jebusites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate. Look at the wisdom here. And the beast of the field multiply against thee. So if I drive them all out, then the animals are going to multiply and reproduce, and now you're going to have problems with the animals. By little and little, I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand. And thou shalt drive them out before thee. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come together once again, it's with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord. Our hearts are burning within us. We anticipate and long for our times together. It's not that we don't walk with you in our personal walk, for we certainly do, each and every one. But as we come together, there's more of you, Lord, as we rally around your word. There's more of your presence. And Father, you promised to feed us. You promised to take care of every need. If we put you first, if we sought the kingdom and its righteousness, all these other things would be added unto us. And you are faithful and you are true to your word. And we're so thankful for that. Father, we've come this morning to be fed at your table. We appreciate what you've done for us, but this is another day and we've come for our portion, and we know that you're faithful to bring it to us, and we know that you planned before the foundation of the world what portion it is that we would partake of this morning. We ask that your blessings would be upon each and every one, Lord, and those that are out sick, we pray that you'd raise them up quickly, Lord, and bring them back amongst us. Father, we love you and thank you. Just ask that you bless those that are listening in, those that might listen in, and we give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. What tremendous promises that God gave to those that he chose to show his divine favor towards. And we see that he told his chosen people they wouldn't take possession, they wouldn't take full possession of their inheritance right away. By little, they would possess the land. And though they did take possession of it little by little, just as you and I do, sadly, they never did take full possession of all that God promised to them. And I pray that that not be said about any of us, that we failed to possess our God-given inheritance. We know that Israel was blessed by God beyond measure amongst the nations. And they saw God. They didn't just hear about it, but they saw God fight their battles. And they saw God give to them the victory over their enemies. And likewise, those that are called among the Gentiles today to walk with their God, they are blessed beyond measure. And as Peter said, we have been given exceeding great and precious promises. And at a time when Satan is on the rampage and the world is falling apart, the wheels are coming off the cart, but God never forsakes his children. And God never gives a promise that he doesn't fulfill. And his children are taking possession of his promises to them little by little. Those that do what he has revealed to them, he gives more. So if we want more of his revealed word, we must first walk in what he's already revealed to us. This isn't just let's get all the information that we can and let's dazzle and let's know this mystery and that. What he reveals to you is for a purpose. The word is always sent for a purpose. It will fulfill its purpose. It will not return it to him void, but it will do what he sent it to do. So when he reveals his word to us, our prayer ought to be, Lord, if whatever you reveal, help me to live it. Help me to surrender to it. Amen. And then he'll give you more. So I'd like us to pay close attention this morning to how God dealt with Israel concerning the promises to them. Because we know that they are a shadow of a New Testament people, a nation made up of every kindred, tongue, and people, the Gentiles. And when we read what God said to them about taking their land, it would be easy for us to get the wrong conception about how this would take place. In verse 30, for instance, God said, I will drive them out from before thee until you grow in number and possess the land. In verse 27, he tells them, I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. Isn't that wonderful? So in this portion of Scripture, God makes it sound like he's going to do everything. And the people won't have to do anything at all. They'll just be spectators. And not just in this text, but in several other places in the Scriptures as well. It sounds as if every bit of their battles are going to be supernatural. And they are just going to sit back and watch in awe. Maybe eat popcorn and suck on a soda straw as they watch God move on their behalf. It sounds as if they will move into the land and they will live in existing homes that are clean and stocked up. The land is going to produce so much food that all they have to do is go into the land and pick it up each morning and put it on the table. The inhabitants of the land, they're just going to throw down their weapons and they're going to run for their lives and they're going to leave everything behind that Israel might possibly want or need. And they will, when they get there, they'll walk into these homes and they'll walk into kitchens that are just stocked full of food, and firewood will be all cut and stacked up so they won't have to do that. And no need to work the fields because the fields are already worked and they're planted and just waiting for the harvest. And the cellars and the spring houses will be stocked up with smoked meats and dried goods and plenty of wine. And they will even leave their clothes behind because they were in such a hurry. Farm equipment, herds of livestock. The sun will shine every day, except coincidentally for the days that you need rain. It'll rain those days, but the sun will shine every other day. The dangerous wild animals, they're all going to just walk into cages and shut the doors on themselves and or run across the border to other countries, never to return. You see, it's just all going to be just hunky-dory, supernatural. All they have to do is perhaps maybe remove a few bodies that fell dead from fear as they ran from the children of Israel. God told them the truth about the land. Don't get me wrong. But God starts out by telling them all the encouraging points and all the sureness of his promises. And it's in the beginning, it's to still the faint of heart. It's to give you courage. It's to show you what your future is. And then God goes further into what they will face and how things will go once they're in the land. And he starts out by telling them what he is going to do. And then he tells them what they are going to do as well. God says, I'm going to drive them out. I'll send hornets, and they will drive them out before you. We read that and we might think, my, I'm not going to have to face any kind of a battle. I'm not going to have to do anything but just, you know, walk in after they're all gone. I'm not even going to see my enemy. And we would probably make a great doctrine out of this using these quotes. These are quotes of their message. We know that the hornets did come, just as he said they would, but not every time. In fact, we read in the book of Joshua that hornets only did this a few times. And as I've already pointed out, he never said every tribe is going to be attacked by hornets. This is just one way that he's going to deal with their enemies. So it just goes to show us that we need revelation from God in order to catch the thought that he's trying to relay to us. And it also shows us that we cannot just take a quote here and another one there and put it together and build a doctrine on quotes. No, we need to follow God's thoughts on the matter. We need to catch his intention all the way through, or we won't get the right picture of how it's going to be for us. When you read a posting for a job, or you hear an advertisement for it, perhaps on the radio, they'll start out by telling you all of the benefits that there are for working for them. They'll make it sound like this is the best job on the planet, that you're just going to look forward to go, what an honor it is to work for this company, and you're just going to go in and you're going to be treated better there than any other place. And they tell you about the high pay, how they're going to pay more than other places, and they'll tell you how many vacation days you'll get and sick days. They'll tell you about the health care. They'll tell you about educational reimbursement and career advancement opportunities and retirement benefits. And then they'll tell you how great the company is among companies. It's not just any company. It's a Fortune 50 company, one of the top 50 companies in the nation. And how you, since you are associated with this great successful company, how you are going to stand out among others that do the same kind of work. And they'll tell you about all that the company will do for you and how you will benefit by being a part of their team. And then they'll tell you about the qualifications after they've buttered you up. And if you apply and if you get an interview, well, they're going to tell you a little bit more about what's required from you. And then if they make you an offer again, they'll tell you about what they will do for you and what you mean to them. And they'll tell you more about what is expected from you than they ever did before. And then you go into orientation and they start telling you more about what you're going to face and more about what is expected of you. And though it was understood from the very first advertisement that you listened to or that you read or that you heard, the company is not going to hire you and then cater to you and pay you to do nothing. There's an expectation. It's understood that the company has your back if you agree to the terms, if you do your part. Now, we are not implying this morning, friends, that God's promises to Israel were entirely conditional, but we are saying that it is understood that you will have a part to play in taking possession of what God has promised to you. God is partnering with you to take your possessions. And you will grow and you will mature as a result of taking your possessions little by little, day by day, piece by piece. You might wonder, well, why do I have to go through all of this? Because it's causing you to grow. So if we take the time to read all that God said to the children of Israel concerning their inheritance, in other words, if we read their entire message that was from Moses, we will find quotes that say, there will be times that you have to fight. And like we read in verse 31, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Well, wait a minute, I thought the hornets were going to do that. You will serve the Lord your God. You won't bow before other gods. You will cast down their idols. Oh, you're going to be real popular. You will destroy them even. I am going to do these things for you, the Lord says. And you are going to do some of these things too. Well, how am I going to do that? You are going to have to fight to possess every single inch of ground that I, the Lord God, have given you. There's going to be a battle. Now, what hindered Israel from taking the possession of the land of promise is the same thing that will hinder us from fully possessing the word for our day. and that is fear. Fear holds us back many times, if we would just be honest with ourselves. And friends, there's nothing wrong. You're not a bad person for admitting that you experience fear. That's to be human. But sadly, too many churches hold back from the people the very thing that will drive fear back so that the people can go forward. And instead of taking away fear, they often add to the fear that the people already have. Now they've got a religious fear. And instead of making new wine something that can be drank in the services, drunk, however you say that, they preach against getting drunk in the Spirit so that your fears and your doubts would be driven away. And they teach that you must always be in control of your faculties, like you're the one that's doing all this. Order is the most important thing. Do we believe that God has an order of things? Absolutely we do. But His order is not man's order. God's ways are not our ways. So on the other hand, we wish, perhaps, that every day that we wake up, our cup is just running over. And we wake up drunk in the Spirit to the place where nothing bothers us from the moment that we get out of bed. We just kind of float on a cloud throughout the day. We wish that it could be that way, but it isn't. And it's not supposed to be. There are battles to be fought. There are victories to be won. There are times when we struggle. There are times when we just slog it out for every inch of ground. There are times when we lose some hard-won ground and we find ourselves having to battle for it over again. Come on, take your halos off. There are portions of our land that we do not possess until much later in our walk, though we would like, perhaps, to possess it early on. And we find that we are battling for it, and sometimes we're in a stalemate. Sometimes it's the enemy's here and we're there and we're not gaining or losing. We're just facing off with our enemy. So that just means, friends, that it isn't an easy victory for some things, but we are assured the eventual victory. Some battles are more difficult than others. But the battle is the Lord, and the victory is ours. Now, many will never go all the way with the message of God for our day, just as they haven't in other ages. Oh, they'll go to church. They'll be good church members, perhaps. They'll pay their tithes. They'll help those that are needy. And those things are all good, and a Christian will do those things. But we're talking about the Lord Jesus Himself restoring His word to each and every one of us, and the Lord Jesus having the preeminence in a body here on the earth. We're talking about overcoming Satan and his angels in this wicked and evil hour, not just maintaining with what we have, but taking full possession of every promise that He's given to us. We're talking about a people that no longer will hinder those that are waiting for a resurrection. And we are talking about a people that discern and overcome every devil that comes their way until finally even death itself is placed under their feet. We are talking about a people that go further than a church experience. They go further to live the very life of Christ in the face of every devil from hell. You want to join up? Now, to obtain the promises of this message, it means that you're going to have to fight for it. Amen. Jesus told us that we were joining a battle. Right. When friends come to visit you, you won't set aside your walk with God while they're visiting with you. When your family opposes you, you will not compromise to find favor with them. You're not looking to tangle with them. You're loving them and praying for them. But you're going to walk with the Lord. Because for you, it's your entire life. It is the most important thing for you in your life. And more. And there's nothing that you won't do, that's scriptural anyway, to possess your inheritance. Devils will oppose you. People will misunderstand you. You will be ridiculed, spoken evil of. People will call you all kinds of things for the Son of Man's sake. They will reason with you, and they will try to get you to compromise on what the Word says concerning you. They'll call you delusional. They'll say nobody can live what it is that you're believing. And Satan's greatest weapon against you by far is fear. Well, if you do that, then this. Just fill in the blank, whatever it might be. Well, here's why you can't do it. Here's why God's not going to work with you. And you say back to him, but God. But God. But God. Not anything about you, but God. Because he's directed your path. He's determined your end already. So by revelation, God begins to make known to you that you are a part of his word. You're not separate from his word. You're a part of it. And he has provided a way for you, as Peter said, to escape the corruption that is in this world through lust. He's provided that way. You are who he has ministered an entrance to into the rapture and an exit from mortality and the things of this world. And unlike some churches, you know that you're not sacrificing everything in this life only for what you will wait for and walk into on the other side. In other words, there are a lot of churches that will teach that we just suffer and that's all there is to it, and then we're rewarded on the other side. No, you are taking possession of your inheritance and are therefore blessed and highly favored on this side too. In the 70s and the 80s, the U.S. military, they had different slogans to try to get people to sign up. One of them was, "We are looking for a few good men." I think the Marines, one of their jingles was, "The few, the proud, the Marines." And then there was the slogan, "Be all that you can be." Now, friends, we know that there's none good but God. We get that. But they weren't saying that you were any good either. What they were promising is, if you will sign up and do your part, we'll tear you down and we'll make you into a few good men. And you will reach your full potential if you join up with us. In fact, you don't even know what your full potential is, but you'll find out. We'll put you through the courses. We'll stretch you this way and that. You'll find out what you're made of. Now, that's just a shadow of what God has promised to his children. But God is not making empty promises to us. And he's not promising to make you into something that you are not. No, he is showing you in his word who you really are. And he has promised to mold you and to shape you until the real you is birthed and the real you is matured within you. So what you are really battling for is to grow up and to come to full maturity in Christ Jesus. There's your battle. You are battling to become all that you can be in Christ Jesus, who you were created to be in Christ Jesus. And your message was sent to you to show you, little by little, who you are. A son or daughter of God that is born of his Spirit, they are living tabernacles that deity is living in another form. The great creator, the one that created the universe, which we can't even begin to fathom, he's chosen to live in human flesh in this day. He's chosen to clothe himself, veil himself behind flesh, and to walk around the earth and to express to this lost and dying world his love, his mercy, his grace, his attributes, his power, his deliverance, his character. He's come to gather his children to himself and to offer eternal life to whosoever will. Sure, there are sacrifices to be made in this walk. The military, when they said, we're looking for a few good men, or be all that you can be, they never said, this is going to be easy. But they said, we'll make you into the sharpest instrument. We'll cause you to live to your full potential. So this, in other words, this is not a one-sided walk where you give up everything and you do everything while God sits back on a throne with his arms folded, waiting to see what our outcome will be. And it isn't the other extreme either, where God puts you in a little bubble and you just kind of float around while he does everything for you and hands you everything on a silver platter. If that was his plan for our lives, friends, why not just quicken us when we come out of our mother's womb, give us everything, and then take us to heaven the next day? Why not go through all this? It's the process that's important. Exodus 34:11. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. So there's this quote, I will, I will. Now if you just take that quote, you can make a doctrine out of it. Oh, look at what God's going to do. You can make a doctrine out of God's going to do everything. He just told us. But here's another quote. Numbers chapter 33, starting at the 50th verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Wait a minute. He just said he was going to do that. And destroy all their pictures. And destroy all their molten images. And quite pluck down all their high places. You're just going to stand against their false gods, their false religion. You're not going to do this in secret. You're not going to worship God in secret. You're going to worship him openly. And anything that's heathen, you're going to call it out. Tear it down. Come on, friends. And you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein. For I have given you the land to possess it. Well, wait a minute. You gave it to us, but we got to take it? Okay. All right. So we have one quote where he says, I will. And another that says, you will. Now we know that God doesn't contradict himself and he doesn't lie. So here's the answer. And this answer, it's hidden from the eyes of the wise and prudent. And excuse me, but it's also hidden from the just say what he said group without revelation. He says, I will do this through you. We're partnering in this. I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it through you. That puts you right in the middle of it. In fact, if you can receive it, you're the center of the revelation even. Christ in you puts you in the center of the revelation. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory that's being revealed. I will do this through you. Does that sound familiar? If the Bible says, if two or more ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we just ask and we're done, right? And then he also says, resist the devil and he shall flee. Well, wait a minute. What if I just ask you to resist the devil for me? We do that. People bring those things forward. I'm not criticizing anybody. We all have to learn. Well, Brother Doug, just pray that God will take this from me and God will do this and God will do that. Well, what are you going to do in the meantime? No, you see, you have a part in this also. Don't give in to the devil. That's your part. You can only serve one master at a time. And both kingdoms are wanting you to surrender yourself to them. Satan wants to use you. God wants to use you. Then shall you drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, verse 52, and destroy all their pictures and destroy all their molten images and quite pluck down all their high places. And you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. Well, wait a minute now. Where's the hornets? I thought God was going to do all this. I got my bee outfit and got my training. Got my EpiPen in case I get stung. You mean we have something to do? Yep. Seize. Take possession. God is going to drive them out while working through His church. God is going to use flesh to do this. And here is what you are going to do. But God is going to fight the battle and give you the victory. Well, if I say something against the heathen gods of Laodicea, they're going to attack us. The battle is the Lord's. Verse 53, and you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess. 54, and you shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more, you shall give the more inheritance. And to the fewer, you shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of your fathers, ye shall inherit. Verse 55, but if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you. Well, wait a minute, I thought you were going to do that. If you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes, thorns in your side, and shall vex you in the land wherever you dwell. If you don't throw out your cigarettes, yeah, I'm going to set you free from that. But if you don't throw them out, if you don't toss out all the dirty books and magazines, it will be a thorn in your side. I will set you free, but you've got to do something now. Well, I thought it was God that sanctifies us. It is Him. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. He does. He sets us free from things that once had us bound. But we have to make a choice to drive those things out of our land, or they will be a thorn in our side. We can't play around with it. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 3. Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is He which goeth over before thee. Wow, so He's going to go over into the land. He's going to go before us, sweep it all out, take care of everything. As a consuming fire, He shall destroy them. And He shall bring them down before thy face. So, shalt thou drive them out. Wait a minute. He. So, shalt you drive them out and destroy them quickly as the Lord hath said unto thee. Okay, so He's going to go before me and destroy them and cause them to fall before me. He's probably going to, you know, swallow them up like He did the Egyptians in the Red Sea, and we're just going to stand by and watch. Hold on. He's going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. But read on a little further. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly. Wait, what? I'm going to drive them out? Friends, he set some of us free that were bound with alcohol, or some of us that were addicted to drugs, he set us free. But if you were an alcoholic and he set you free, did you leave that bottle of whiskey on the table in front of you so that you stared at it every time you sat down at the dinner table? Did you leave the bottle of pills on your nightstand or your baggie of weed on the nightstand so that it was there when you went to bed and when you woke up? Absolutely not. You flushed the pills down the toilet. You threw away the bottle or the baggie. You poured out the liquor. You tossed the bottle in the trash can. You got rid of every shred. You don't want something to be a thorn in your side. You drove those spirits, those inhabitants, out of your land. God set you free, gave you the victory, but you stood your ground and said, I'm taking this land. You drove them out. God set you free from demons of lust. And you brought your computer out of that dark corner into the living room for all to see. Or if you didn't need a computer for work or school or shopping or study, you got rid of that thing that would otherwise be a thorn in your side. There's no one answer to this. If it's a thorn in your side, get rid of it. Friends, God doesn't do the quitting for you. And there's no program. I haven't heard of a program yet that will quit something for you. No one can quit drinking for you. Nobody promises to quit drinking for you. They promise to help you to help yourself to stay free of it. Nobody can quit smoking for you. Nobody can quit overeating for you. A lot of times people look for a diet and they want a quit you diet. They want a diet that's going to quit stuffing you. The diet isn't stuffing you. You are. Nobody's going to quit gossiping for you. You see my point? Over and over and over. This is something that you do. God wanted to wipe out all the enemies of Israel. But he was going to use the armies of Israel to do it. God, excuse me. God set us free from the things that bind us. But he uses the preaching of the word or the laying on of hands to do most of it. But we want to read into the word of God what we want the word of God to say versus what he meant by what he said. It takes revelation. Verse 3. Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them. And he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Listen, friends, God did a work of destruction on their enemies before they drove them out of the land. God had already done a work. Recall that when the musicians began to play, their enemies heard and quaked in their boots. Recall that God's reputation went before them. And these people that were in the land, they heard about these stories about what this God had done. So God worked on them. We only see a part of the picture. We're always just trying to focus on the little portion that has to do with us. But God's picture is a whole lot bigger. He's working on all sides. He was working on them before Israel ever lifted one finger. Jesus defeated all of your enemies before you came to this earth. He's defeated every sickness. He's defeated death, hell, and the grave. He's already done these things for you and I. And he has utterly defeated your enemies. There's not one of your enemies that isn't defeated. But now it's on you to drive them out of your land. They are defeated. But you have to drive them out. He has made claims on your behalf. And now it's up to us to enforce these claims by resisting the enemy that then flees. He's defeated. The Lord is going with you, and he is in you. It's our part to resist. It's his part to give us the victory. Well, why are there sick ones still? Well, because some don't think it's worth the fight. Others are sitting back and they're waiting for something to happen. Some will allow fear to keep them at an impasse without going further. And then there are those that take him at his word and speak according to his word. And he gives the victory. Verse 3. Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth before thee, and as a consuming fire he shall destroy them and shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Destroy them quickly. What does quickly mean? You see, every word has meaning. And every word has an intention behind it. It's a thought that you're trying to express. So, quick to God meant 26 years. It was 26 years. Well, was that quick? Well, he told the New Testament church, behold, I come quickly. He's been coming for 2,000 years now. But that's 2 days in the Lord's time. 1 year, 1 day is 1,000 years. So what I'm driving at this morning, friends, is that we must look to him to reveal his word to us. We aren't just taking something that's written down that somebody said and quoting it and hoping for a good outcome. He has to reveal to you. Spiritual food in due season, the right word at the right time. Otherwise, we will all interpret the very same words to match our thinking about his word. And that's what denominations do. They have the same Bible. And yet, 800 and something different denominations. Sure, there are other Bibles, but what about the 800 and some that have the same Bible, but different interpretations? Tell a Trinitarian that God is one, and he will say, no, he isn't. He's three. Okay, how could he be a plural then? He isn't plural. Why don't they pray to a them? Well, that's next, right? If you approach the word with an open heart and a desire for the truth, he will show you plainly that he is one and not three, all the way through the scripture. But if in your thinking you want to believe that he is three, you will only look at the quotes that makes it sound as if he were three. And you will ignore all the Lord thy God is one God quotes and all the I and my Father are one quotes and all the, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father quotes. All the, he shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us. You'll ignore all those because you've already made up your mind. This is what you want the word to say. That's what denominations do. That's what a denominational spirit does. But you're a seeker of light. You want the truth. And the truth will set you free. Deuteronomy 9:4, speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God has cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. He brought me in because I'm good. Look at my works. That's why he's bringing me in the land. He did all of this because I'm a good boy. I got a good guy card. I'll show you if you want to see it. For my righteousness, the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. God hates that evil. And he drives them out because of their wickedness. So, the question that we would ask is, if God's already done it, why do I have to struggle? Why do I have to fight many times? Well, God has called his people to partner with him. He needs your hands. He needs your lips. He needs your ears. He needs your feet to drive out your enemies. And it's crucial this morning, friends, that we recognize that God has called us into a battle. Not into a picnic, but into a battle. And it's also crucial that we recognize that he doesn't send us out on our own. The battle is his. You and God are a team. In fact, you and God are the majority. He works through every single member of the body. He directs every single member of the body. And he is performing his own good will through every member of the body. He knows what he wants done. He knows how to get it done. He wrote the whole plan. He's worked out every little detail. And you and I are privileged to be included in God's great plan. What he is doing. It's an honor, friends. It's a blessing. Even if there was no heaven, even if there was no afterlife, this is a much better life by far. Not even any comparison. This is a much better life than any other kind of life that you could live. Let's stand. Tonight we want to, by God's grace, we're building a little platform here. Tonight we want to preach. We want to bring that closer to home for each and every one of us. The scripture tells us in one place that the people perish that don't have a vision. Right? Well, God's people are not going to perish because he is giving them his vision for their lives. It's not a matter of us trying to, you know, I remember in my own life, as I relayed to you, I think a week ago or so, the struggles that I had trying to figure out what should I do with my life. And there's probably one thing I could do better than the other. There's probably a path that I should be on that's going to be more prosperous or whatever, but I don't know what it is. I don't know what my talent is. I don't know what my purpose is. Seems like I could do all kinds of things, and I did. I did all kinds of things for a few years. A mechanic, a bookkeeper, worked at auto parts store, maintenance man at apartments, cook, dishwasher. Probably a few more if I sat around and thought about it a little bit more. In the process, I probably learned a number of things that I didn't want to do the rest of my life. And, you know, that's valuable. It's good experience. Yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. There's got to be an easier way. There's got to be a better way, something more fulfilling. And it can seem like such a struggle to us, and it does. But when you give your life to the Lord, when you surrender to him completely, he will show you what your purpose is. Amen. And you will find that your purpose is the most natural thing because he made you. In fact, you'll be shocked. Wow, this actually is something I can do. Duh. He made you to do a certain thing. And then he equipped you to do that. Imagine Moses, if God hadn't equipped him. He was completely equipped by God to do what God called him to do. Imagine if he didn't have the ability to see visions. How could God reveal his word to him? Imagine If he wasn't a leader, how could God use him to lead 2.5 million people? And on and on and on. You will find that your purpose is so simple and so plain. And you will find that you are most fulfilled in doing what God put you on this earth to do. In other words, you might have in your mind, well, maybe I would have enjoyed this better, or I would have been better at that or this. No. What God called you to be and what God called you to do, that will be the pinnacle. That will be the best for you. All the way around. You will be blessed. Other people will be blessed. And in some cases, it won't even seem like work. In other cases, it'll feel like work and more. Because it's not an easy road for any of us. But he's calling every one of us this morning to be all that we can be. Not all that we want to be, all that he made us to be. But the intersection between those two is perfect. What we truly want to be is what he called us to be. How many can say amen to that? Amen. So simple. Now, it may not seem like it at first. You know, like with a preacher. The guy that wants to is just chomping at the bit to get up and preach, God didn't call him. Any preacher that God calls, he's scared to death. First of all, he agonizes over, well, am I just, trying to do God a service? Am I just getting enthused? Is he really calling me to do this? So you'll make your calling sure, as well as your election. And you'll try to think of ways to get away from it. But down in your heart, you know that that's what God's called you to do. Otherwise, you couldn't do it. You couldn't do it with confidence. You couldn't do it with the expectation that he's going to do what he said he was going to do. Because that little nagging question would be there, well, are you sure? Maybe you're a fraud, you know? Maybe this isn't your calling. So every one of us, in fact, Brother Branham told us that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that places you into your position. That places you into the land. That shows you what God has for you in your life. So there's no reason for us to struggle over this. The struggle is dying out and letting go, putting our trust completely in him. But friends, there's no better feeling, as most of us know this morning, there's no better feeling than to completely surrender to him and know that you're completely in his hands. That nothing can come against you that he doesn't allow. And that he has your best interest at heart. Sure, he's got a plan. Sure, he's got something that he's trying to perform. But you're part of it. And as we've quoted so many times here lately, from John, I would that you would prosper in health, even as your soul prospers. God did not put you here to live a life of drudgery. Well, wait a minute. You said we're going to suffer and this, that. Yeah, but you're also going to have peace. You're going to have joy. You're going to be fulfilled. You're going to have hope, healing, deliverance. All of these other things, a body change. And it is true that what waits us cannot be compared to the things that we're going through in this life. The glory that will be revealed in us is so much greater than the temporary things that we're going through in this life. But how many can say this morning, there are benefits on this side? I know that there are benefits on this side. I know that I know that I know. How many can say that this morning? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand before you this morning, we thank you, Lord, for your sure words of promise. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to wonder. And since we don't have to wonder, we don't have to wander. But we we can walk with you knowing, Lord, what your plan is for us. That's not to say, Lord, that you're going to show us in one moment in time our whole future, everything that you're going to do. No, on the contrary, it's one step at a time. You show us the path that we're to walk on, and you are a light before our feet. We may not be able to see what's over the next hill, but we trust the same one that's with us, that's guiding us and leading us, will be the same one that's with us when we crest that hill and go down into the next valley. This is a walk with you, and it's a journey with you, and it's a privilege, and it's an honor, Lord, to be associated with you, and to be blessed by you, to be used by you. All glory goes to you. The victory, the battle is yours, and you give us the victory. It's your victory even, but you give us the victory. And we're thankful for that this morning. I pray, Lord, that you give each and every one of us more courage. I pray, Lord, that we would face those fears that every one of us experiences. We wouldn't be speaking on these things if nobody ever experienced it. We all do. But Lord, you've made a way, and it's by revelation, it's by faith that we're able to face those things and press through. That's not to say that there won't be in the flesh a little nervousness. Of course. Of course, when something strikes us, a sickness strikes us, of course we're concerned. If we weren't concerned, then we would never pray, we would never call on you, we'd never cry out. Of course, there'd be something wrong with us. Of course, we experience that, those feelings and that concern. But Lord, your word gives us confidence through faith, revelation, to face those things, knowing that you've given us the victory, that you've already defeated our enemy. And you're with us as we battle that thing. And you're with us as we stare that thing down and remind that thing that it's defeated, that it's trespassing, that it's squatting on land that doesn't belong to it. And we may have to stand there and stand there and stand there. It may be a short period of time. It may be a long period of time. But that's what we'll do. We'll stand on your unfailing words of promise. And your word cannot fail. The enemy has to leave. The enemy has to flee. That's your word. You cannot lie. And Lord, we can rest in your promises this morning. I pray that you move upon each and every heart, Lord. I pray, Lord, as we go through this series, Lord, as we get down into rubber hits the road, kind of meat and potatoes of our message, may we recognize, Lord, that you have something for us to do. But it's your work. And you will perform these things through us. But we have to be willing to surrender. We have to be willing to say, not my will, but thy will. We have to be willing to stand, to do what we know to do, and then stand. And we know that you will fight the battle. We know that you will give us the victory. We know that. I pray that each one would be encouraged this morning. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone that's in the valley of decision this morning, if there's anyone that's the devil's got twisted around and they've got all these questions and seemingly no answers, I pray that the peace that passes all understanding would just settle down. Father, we don't need all the answers all at once. We just need to know that you're with us and that you will lead us and guide us. You will lead us into all truth. That was your promise. Father, we can't have confidence in anything else in this life. All of our confidence is in you, and it's not misplaced. Help us, Lord, to read your word and to ask you, how does this apply to my life? Father, I don't want to take anything out of context. I don't want to misquote. I don't want to misplace the word. I don't want to coat the word with something to soften it or to harden it or to change it in any way. I just want to take your word and apply it as you intended in our lives. Pray that you'd meet with each and every one. May each one be encouraged, Lord. As we continue to press this battle in this last hour, we know that the battle is hot and heavy. We know that our enemy is on every side. We know that our enemy is frantic in this hour because he knows his time is short. And so he's going about as a roaring lion, but he's not a lion. He's making sounds like a lion, but he has no teeth. You took his teeth out. When he laid into you at Calvary, you took away the sting. You took away the bite. Now it's a bluff. Oh, it's a worthy bluff, that's for sure. It's a convincing bluff if we try to meet the devil on his terms. But Lord, you've already defeated him. That's the thing. We don't have to do battle with him ourselves. You've already defeated him. All we have to do is resist. All we have to do is say, footsteps is possession. All we have to do is say, Lord, I'm standing on this promise. I'm standing on that promise. Maybe I wasn't yesterday, but I'm growing and I'm maturing. And today, I'm going to go over into this valley. Tomorrow, I'm going to go up on that mountain. There's a piece of land up there that I've always wanted to possess. It's in your word. It's your promise. And maybe this is the time. Maybe this is the season. One thing's for sure. We're going to take full possession of what you've promised to us in this hour. And we're going to take a rapture. We're going to take a body change. We are going to see mortality swallowed up with immortality. We are going to see death placed under our feet, according to your word. Under your feet, which we are a part of your body. I pray that we'd go home encouraged today, Lord. I pray that you just continue to minister to us, each and every one, in a personal way, because you are a personal God. And I pray, Lord, that if anyone is confused, I pray if anyone is attending, but they're not, they don't feel that they're hearing from you. Lord, I was there. I know what that's like. We've all been at that point early on at one point or another. But I pray, oh God, that if we just humble ourselves and seek you, we know that you'll reveal yourself. You promised it, Lord. In fact, you want to do it more than we want it done. So if there's a painful desire here this morning, Lord, for someone to come to know you in a more personal way, may it be so this morning, Lord. We know that's your purpose, that's your desire. May it be so. I pray each one would be encouraged as we leave this building, that we'd take the opportunity this week, Lord, to take stock of what we're facing day in and day out. And may we just premeditate in our hearts. Lord, I'm going to take a little bit more land this week. I'm not claiming that I'm going to devour a country. I'm not claiming that I'm going to go knock down every Goliath. I'm just going to possess a little bit more than what I possessed before. Footsteps are possession. Won't you grant it to us? Bless each and every one. I wonder if there's anyone that want to be remembered in prayer this morning that say, that's my prayer this morning. I want to take possession of a little bit more of what he's promised me. And I know to do that, he's going to have to reveal to me in a personal way what his word has declared. It's got to be real to me. It's got to not be I hope so, but I know so. Just very simply, but based on faith. And I want God to, I believe it, that this is for a Christian. I believe that this is for a believer in Christ. Now I want to believe it, that it's for me this morning. If that's you, you want to just lift up your hand. Father, you see the hands lifted up in the building. Father, you know every heart. These are your children, Lord. These are the trophies These are the reason why you paid the price, why you came to the earth, why you took on flesh, why you died such a wicked death in the hands of wicked men. It's all because of them. For the joy, you endured the shame of the cross for the joy. For these ones and many, many others, these that are here this morning and many others, I pray that you would encourage and bless, strengthen each one. Hear their prayer this morning. Lord, I just unite my faith with them this morning. Lord, we're just looking for you to make yourself known to each one. Raise your hand in your own simple way. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory. We love you and thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Hallelujah.
Your plan is right, Lord.
Is right.
I need you.